Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Here's something that's kind of non-COVID related. And we have spoken before on the show about, you know, people driving cars and licenses and what age the license should actually be taken off somebody. But take a listen to this message that we got in, right? And it says, "Hi, Niall. I was recently in a minor collision. Thankfully, it wasn't too serious and nobody was hurt. There was a bit of damage done to my car, but the man who hit into me was 72 years of age. When he got out of his car to assess the damage, I could see that he was quite frail-looking. He struggled walking, and without sounding insulting, he was very old-looking. I felt sorry for him, and I didn't make too much of a deal about the car once everyone was okay, but it got me thinking that the man shouldn't be driving a car. He rear-ended me, and I can only assume his reactionary responses were not quick enough, or he got distracted while driving. Maybe you could talk about elderly drivers on your show. I don't want to seem insensitive, but I believe there should be a cut-off age for driving, because it was clear to me that this man was dangerous on the roads." Now, there are people who are dangerous on the roads. Yes, there is no doubt as we get older, our reaction times are slower. In Ireland currently at the moment, for anyone who applies for a licence from the age of 60 to 66, the licence will expire when they reach to 70. Drivers aged between 67 and 69 who are granted a licence will have it only for 3 years. Any driver wishing to apply for a licence over 70 will either have to get a 3 or a 1 year licence. This is subject to certification of fitness to drive by a GP. Now, the GP will generally just check your eyesight, and he will probably give a general fitness statement, of course, for you to get your licence. Some people say that a person's licence should be taken away once they're 70 years of age. Now, I know there are people who have driven over the age of 100. And other people believe that they should have to resit a driving test every 2 to 3 years once they reach 70 to ensure they're competent on the road. There's also an argument for ageism, with some saying it is discrimination to target someone's driving purely because of their age. They say there are many people out there who are more capable of continuing to drive as normal than maybe some young people out there. So what do you think? I mean, there was a story there. I remember we talked about this about 2 years ago. A very sad story. Where an elderly couple, I think they were both in their 70s. I think the man might have been 80 who was driving the car, drove the wrong way up a motorway with a caravan attached to the back of their car. And they hit an oncoming car with a family in it and everybody was wiped out. It was a terribly sad story, but that whole conversation then came up at the time. Should people, you know, who are that age have a license? Because we would be fools to argue that you don't, you know, lack concentration as you get older. Of course you do. As you get older, your reaction times slow down. They did an experiment many years ago, drink driving versus age driving. And they compared it, say, for every year over the age of 70, for the average older person, it's like having a pint of beer or whatever. They did a comparison, if you know what I mean, to your reaction times. But let me know what you think, anyway. And the question quite simply is, I mean, look, he's suggesting that a driver should be essentially banned over the age of 70. Do you believe people over 70 should have to resit a test every 2 or 3 years rather than just have to give a certificate from a doctor? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Andy, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Andy?
Not so bad now.
Good. How are you? Are you angry today? Or
I'm quite angry. I spent a day out on the road, 14 hours, looking at sort of general bad driving standards across society now.
Do you think Irish drivers are? You've been to England, Spain, France, probably most places around Europe. Do you think, generally speaking, we're worse than most?
I'm going to say no. I think there's a huge. I think as a society, we're getting far more aggressive in our driving style and standards, and I think far more people sort of think it's quite all right to use mobile phones as they drive around the place. So when we compare, you know, and the point you made about drink driving and how that affects your reaction times, you know, there's the biggest fallacy going about drink driving now, and let's just say I have seen lots of people suffer through drink driving. Alcohol is a behavioral disinhibitor. So the problem is, it's not about people's reaction times on the drink. It's about the risks they take.
And the decisions they make. Yeah, the decisions they make. Yes.
The decisions they make. All the speed, they just drive dangerously because they think that they're great. And all of a sudden, they've now got a vehicle flying around the road which can wipe out crowds of people. But, you know, they think they're fine. And that's another problem with alcohol. When people take alcohol, they think they're okay, and that's one thing. So that's all I'm going to say on alcohol. When it comes to driving standards, older people's driving standards, just because you're a poor listener, somebody bumps his car today, I can go on after case after case after case of fatalities on this road, you know, and it's the vast majority of them do not include old people.
They're generally young people, yes.
Well, they're not even generally young people.
Well, they are. I mean, didn't they look at this some years ago? I mean, I'm not saying the average, but, you know, the young lad 18 to 25 is probably the highest risk, isn't he?
Because you become an experienced driver statistically when you hit about 100,000 kilometres driven, and that, if you average out, sort of says if you pass your test 17, you do 12,000 a year. By the time you're 25, you've knocked in 100,000 kilometres, and therefore you've got the experience on the road of various traffic situations that allows you to react appropriately. You know, the vast majority of people to react appropriately in the various circumstances. You know, I'm on the road a long, long time at this stage. You know, I drive various different vehicles, and I, you know, from push bikes to motorbikes to, you know, trucks and Arctics, and I understand pretty much most of the traffic situations are out there. But, you know, I wasn't perfect as a young person. What you get when you get older is experience on the road, and experience is vital to safety. So the whole point of old people being kicked to touch because they're old is just ridiculous. And I will say, of course, and it's not the reason why I'm saying all this, but I just maybe to sort of, you know, highlight a point. My mum hit 80 this year, and her driving is, I would pick holes in it, because I'm quite critical of people's driving. But she's
no worse than anybody else, is what you're pointing.
She's absolutely no worse than anybody else.
Yeah, and that's fine. And there are a lot of 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds who are very corpus mentis. But in saying that, we would be defying biology and denying biology and scientific evidence if we didn't say that when you reach 70 years of age, your reaction times generally, right, for the average person, slow down.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, when you get, you know, if your reaction times are slowed, we could be under medication, you know, we could be feeling unwell, and people still drive off to take medications and feel unwell. Most people should, you know, increase their sort of, you know, travel distance behind the vehicle in front to allow, you know, and slow down for allow for a safety margin. But people obviously don't do that as much as they should. Back to the sort of medical thing now.
Okay, but hang on, Andy. I'm not suggesting like this guy that we should ban older drivers, right? But surely, would it be logical to say that you have to resit a test maybe every 5 years when you get to 70?
Why? Because people's driving standards.
I'm not saying the same test. I'm not saying your initial test, but certainly, you know, a test that tests your reaction times.
Well, maybe bring that in as part of the medical, you know, and like that sort of thing. Like, you know, medicals are required for professional drivers every 5 years. I mean, there's only two people that can take your license off you now, isn't there? And one of them is a judge, and the other one is a doctor. So, you know,
bus drivers can only drive up to 70, isn't it? Is it 70 for bus and coach drivers? Am I wrong?
I would say the problem you'd have would be insurance for anybody older than that.
Although,
I'm just going to actually correct you, because I would say I know plenty of drivers that, you know, are retired from, let's say, well, you know, that will be over 70, but still drive professionally. So
I know a lot of guys who retire from Bus Éireann will go on to drive, you know, for private companies. But I think it's only for about 5 years. Now, if there's a bus driver listening, can you qualify or clarify? I think you can't do it over the age of 70.
I would say I've had drivers in my, I'm going to say my classroom, and that sounds a bit too much, but I've had drivers on, I'm going to say it now, CPC training courses, which is one of the other things that I did, that would have been over 70 that still drive professionally.
What about HGV drivers? Is there an age limit on that?
No, you have to get your license. You have to get basically get tested every 5 years. You know, if you've got a class C license, it's every 5 years. Your truck and bus license, there's a code on the license, code 101, which means subject to ongoing medical renewals, and that's it. You know, you have to go every 5 years, and I'm going to say, I think it's every year once you get to 70.
Okay, well, say there a second. Let me just go to Jude as well. Jude, you're on Classic Hits. Aidan, Jude.
Not too bad at all, Niall.
Okay, so this guy had a bit of a clink today with somebody he reckons was about 72 years of age. Now, he did say the man was quite frail and he struggled to walk without sounding insulting. That's what he said. He said he looked very old, right? Okay, now, he suggested banning drivers over the age of 70. I wouldn't say that. But, I mean, at the moment, you have to get, well, a doctor's certificate to get your license. I mean, should people have to sit a test?
I think so. Now, everyone makes mistakes, most of all, even young drivers. So just because you're old doesn't mean you're a crap driver. But I think there should be more stringent tests, say when you get to 70 or 75, for sight, hearing, and most important of all, your reaction time.
Will you have to get a certificate from a doctor or a GP to say that your eyesight is good? Or yeah, that if you wear glasses, that you wear them all the time?
Yeah, but a doctor doesn't do a stringent test to see how quick your reactions are.
No.
So you could have great eyesight, but your reaction time is crap. That's no good if you're driving on the road. Not every older person, but there are a lot of older people out there that are absolutely brutal drivers. You see some of them on the motorway, you see some old fella, and he's driving so slow.
Jeez, hopefully you're no spring chicken yourself, by the way, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not an old fella. But what I'm saying,
am I an old fella? I'm 56. Am I an old fella?
No.
What age do you become an old fella?
I'd say from about 75, I do.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
But, I saw some young one sitting in the middle lane, or of the M50 this morning as well. Sitting, the lane discipline on the motorway is generally crap at all age limits, you know.
Yeah.
Very few people drive in lane one, which is the correct lane to be driving in. So, you know,
And that was a young one. Okay, yeah, sorry, so good to finish what you're saying, Jude, go on.
They drive in the slow lane, right? You can't overtake, or they drive in the fast lane, right? And they're really slow. You'd swear they're curb crawling for prostitutes for that sort of time that slow, you know? And you're wondering, do they not realise, you're on a motorway, people want to overtake, but they can't overtake because you're driving at that speed in front of them.
And what, you just think they're taking life a little bit slower, yeah?
Yeah, like, drive in the slow lane. And some of them are reaction times.
My father used to always say to me, always beware of man with cap. I don't know where that came from. So I think he was talking about a Sunday driver. But do me a favour, stay there for a second, Jude. Let me just go to, is it Helena?
Helena, yes.
Hi, Helena.
How are you?
Now, you're 73.
I'm 73, yes.
And you're the only other person called Helena that I know, apart from my producer's name is Helena.
Yes, I had discussed that with Helena already, and I've met two other Helenas, I think.
And you know what annoys Helena an awful lot, right? Every day she's emailing politicians or emailing, you know, spokespeople for this, that, and the other, for the daytime show, and they always respond, thanks, Helen.
Oh, yeah. Lena.
Lena, yeah, she's had that one too, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, Helena, you're 73, and you think you're a good driver. Jude reckons you should have to do a test now in 2 years' time.
No, I don't think so. When I get to 75, if I feel myself that I'm not able to drive or if I'm not safe on the road, then I would not drive.
Mm.
And I think an awful lot I hear this, about, once you get to 70, you're an old one. You are aged, yes. But not every 70-year-old is the same. So you can't just generalise and say, every 70-year-old is
an old one. Jude, is Helena an old one?
I'd say she's getting there, yeah.
I am there. I am there in years. But I don't feel 73, and I certainly don't think I'm a dangerous driver. I know,
Most drivers don't think that they're.
Oh, yes, but like I
the
say,
best
yeah, yeah, we all think we're the best drivers in the world. To be honest with you,
no, I wouldn't say I'm the best driver in the world, but I know like that I'm not a dangerous driver, and I've seen 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds. You could every decade, you could say on the road, and you'll find every decade people of every decade are dangerous on the road.
Mm.
I mean, I see people on the road I see people on the road driving in an 80-kilometre zone at 50 and 60 kilometres. That annoys me because I think if you're in a 50 zone, you drive 50. If you're in 120, you drive at 120.
I know recently on the late, well, when I say recently on the Late Late Show, it was about a couple of years ago back, they had the four oldest people in the country, Jude, and one of them, a chap, Jay-Z, he looked all right to be honest, he was 104, I think, or 105, and he drives.
Yeah, well, I don't honestly think.
But he seemed copus mentis, well, reasonably copus mentis for his age.
But that doesn't mean you're a great driver.
No, okay, so would you, like, if Helena was your mum, Would you trust her? Would you say to her, listen, ma'am, you know, you'd want to start rethinking about driving now. You know, I think you should stop.
Well, my old stick doesn't drive with my...
Your old stick? She doesn't... Well, how old is your old stick?
What's your old stick?
His mother.
All right, okay.
How old is she?
What?
69. 69, okay. Yeah. And how old is your old pop?
Pop's is 74.
Right, okay.
And do they drive, both of them?
Yes, their pops does, but he doesn't drive as much now. He doesn't drive as long distances because his eyesight is great. Like, he doesn't wear glasses, but in the car when he's driving, he has to wear glasses because they glare off the road.
Right.
Well, I wear glasses all the time. I get my eyes tested regularly. And my doctor knows me for who I am and what I am. So when I got to 70, I kind of felt offended when I got to 70.
So when you got to 70, you had to go to your doctor and get a certificate for health.
Exactly.
And what does your doctor, can you explain that process to me? So you go into your doctor and you say, listen, I need to get a driver's license. Can you give me a certificate? What does he do?
She takes your blood pressure.
That was right. I assumed that was a male. That was wrong of me. Sorry. Go on.
She takes your blood pressure. She'd look at your eyes to see, you know, just check your hearing.
Yeah.
The usual normal kind of a check-in that you'll get every whatever.
Right.
And then she'll say, right, okay, and she knows me as well.
So your eyesight and your hearing, basically, that's it.
Your eyesight and your hearing, yeah.
Okay, so there's nothing to do with it. Sorry, Andy, go ahead, yeah. Sorry,
Andy. Yeah, I was going to say, for driver's medical, you get checked for diabetes, and you get an eyesight test, which checks your peripheral vision as well.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And what it also, and a really very, very important point now, that everybody should sort of not fail to remember, is driver medicals are all subject to self-declaration. In other words, you know, your doctor hasn't got time to go through a full, you know, let's say, rundown of you. So there's a big list of questions.
But see, older people are more likely to be on medication than younger people.
That's true. I disagree with that.
Yeah, that is true, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of that medication can make you a little bit woozy, you know what I mean, and dizzy, and you know what I mean?
And that's the whole point about intoxicants, and you're not meant to drive whilst in the influence of intoxicants.
But that, again, that's self-declaration, isn't it? That's up to you to...
No, because it's down to the doctor to, when you're being prescribed anything, and this is, again, the stuff that I sort of talk about on a regular basis, if you're taking any sort of form of medication, if it's, you know, a prescription from a doctor, then you should be checking with your doctor, is it going to affect your driving? And secondly, if you're getting over-the-counter meds from a pharmacist, then you should be checking with the pharmacist.
I mean, Helena, do you think your reaction time is as good? How long are you driving, by the way, Helena?
Since 75.
Okay, so do you think your reaction time has changed in the last 45 years? Has it changed?
When it comes to driving?
Yeah, I mean, like if something, a child ran out in front of you, or a ball, or a truck pulled out in front of you, do you think you can react just as well now as you did, say, 45 years ago?
Probably not. I mean,
it's 55 years ago, sorry.
Not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, recently I was coming down my own road, and this guy came out, a young guy, came out of a side road right in front of me. And all I could do was go to the other side of the road. I'm lucky enough there was no other car coming.
Okay, so you kind of swerved rather than stopped.
I had to swerve get away from him. A couple of months ago, the same thing happened to me, and she was a nurse, actually. I was going down my road again. She came out of the side road. I was on the main part of the road. She was on the side road. Came straight out in front of me. Now, looking up at that stage, because she was very near me, I had to swerve right over, but there was another road opposite me that I could go into.
Okay, but as you get older... You would admit, as you get older, you know, I mean, because I'm 56 now, and I know from the time I was 30, as the years go on, you start to feel those little extra aches and pains here and there, okay?
Can we just address those two instances?
Yeah, I will in a second, Andy. But, I mean, the point I'm making is, Alina, when you get to a point where you think, or you're honest enough with yourself in your own mind to think that maybe I shouldn't be driving a car anymore, will you be honest and actually stop driving, or do you think you'll chance your arm?
Yes, I will. No, I'll stop.
Okay.
Myself, I will stop. I believe if you're a danger on the road, you should not be on the road.
Okay, sorry, Andy, you wanted to address the two instances.
Who was at fault there? Was it Helena, or was it the two people?
Oh, it was the two people that pulled out in front of her.
And what age are the two people that pulled out in front of her?
Yesterday, he was a lad about in his 20s with an end plate up.
Right.
And a few months ago, a woman in her mid-30s, early 40s.
Right.
possibly pulled out in front of me. On both occasions, I had to avoid them.
Exactly. So thank heavens that Helene has still got her reactions that are good enough to ensure that she can take proper evasive manoeuvres when other idiot drivers pull
and,
out of
and by the way, can I mention that, you know, you're saying whose fault it is. According to the rules of the road, you should be going slow enough that if anybody pulls out in front of you, you can stop.
Well, it's a 50.
Yes, well, I'm afraid that it's actually doesn't happen now.
I know that, but that's the rules of the road, isn't it?
But okay, ride a motorbike and you'll see.
Oh, no, I rode. Do you know what? And here's my theory, by the way, about motorbikes, right? I think, I was going to say everybody should learn to drive a motorbike, but I think those people, like myself, I used to race motorbikes but when I was in my 20s. I used to do motocross race and I did sidecar race and all sorts of stuff. And I drove a motorbike constantly all the time. I had to get off it because I was going to kill myself. But those people who drive motorbikes end up being better drivers in cars because they're more observant. Because when I'm driving a car, unlike many drivers, I'm looking at a road, you know, if I'm on, say, a dual carriageway, I'm looking at entrances a mile ahead to see if anybody's pulling out because as a motorcyclist, I know they can't see me. So for the rest of your life, you're kind of over-conscious.
Yeah, but do you not think some motorcyclists go too fast?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I've been on motorways and I go down to Kerry or I go to Galway or whatever and I'm on a motorway and I'm going at 120. I keep, you know, well.
Yeah, at 80 miles an hour.
Zoom. And this person,
Helena, people on motorbikes,
about 160.
Absolutely, listen, Helena. When I was driving a motorbike at 20 years of age, mind you, we were different times. There was hardly any guards on the road,
nobody.
And your driver's license didn't even have your picture on it in those days. I could tell you, I was driving at 130 and 140 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I was driving like a lunatic.
And at that time, the speed limit wasn't even 120.
That was miles an hour.
I know.
I was a nutcase. Because I was 20 years of age, I was mental, and I had a motorbike and thought I was brilliant.
Yeah,
what motorbike did you have?
What did I have? My last motorbike was a Paravalve 350.
Well, I had a 350 LC.
So. Yeah.
Widowmaker.
They were nicknamed Widowmakers. That's right, because so many people died on them, bloody things.
Not surprised.
Yeah, and I did have a Gitana, a 750 at one stage. Yeah. I had a Suzuki X7. Which was
I had
a 250
as well, the GT 250,
yeah.
And I have driven a 1.4 car since I bought a car, my first car.
Oh,
that's as high the engine as go 1.4.
See, I don't know what it is about men, Helena, but we just have this thing that we need to go fast.
I know it well. I have three sons.
My first motorbike was a DT125.
Yeah. I had a DT
175. Yeah, there you go. See, and then when I was doing the motocross racing, I had an XT 500. I had a Mako 250. I had what did I have? I had a Suzuki. Was it an RX 250? I'm trying to remember the name of it, or A or X. Can't remember the name. And then we had when I was doing the sidecar racing, it was a special bike that was made in Germany, and it was called a Wasp, and it had a Norton 900 single cylinder engine. And that was a kickstart. You can imagine trying to kickstart.
Kick back on a single.
You'd break your leg on the kickstart. Okay. Let me just go to Neil. Neil, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Neil?
How are you doing, Niall?
Good. Neil, I mean, okay, do you believe that people over the age of 70 should have to resit a test?
I don't think they should resit the driving test.
Okay.
You know, going out, do the lessons.
Yeah.
I was just telling, is it Aisling and Helena there? That I had to retake the Irish test at 56 years old.
Why?
After driving for 32 years.
Because I detect an accent in your voice.
Yeah.
I was originally from Galway. I'm from Galway. I'm back in Ireland after being gone since 1984.
You were obviously in the United States.
I went to the States, but then I traveled globally and drove globally for the last 30 years.
Okay.
I don't think that you should have had to sit your test after driving abroad and everything else. But,
I didn't think so either.
As far as I'm concerned.
And your insurance, you lose your no-claims bonus after two years, which is stupid as well.
But I had a license. And I actually had to take the driving test. It's called the reduced EDT. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
So even though I had a Swiss driver's license, they did take my U.S. driver's license and said, yep, no bother. You're fully qualified.
Yeah.
So then, when I came to Ireland, they said, yeah, we do have reciprocity with Swiss But because of your original one, driving test was done in the States, we're not going to take it. You have to do the reduced EDT.
All right, okay.
So six lessons, you know, with the driving instructor.
Nice.
And then off to take the test. So
did you pass it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
first
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah, no did. Look at they listen to the confidence in that, Helena. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I would not.
Well, but here's the thing. Helena, do you think you'd pass a driving test now?
I think so.
Because myself and Helena last year, we had an argument on the air about this. So we both went and did a driving test as if it was a real test. We failed. Helena, I just point out, Helena failed miserably, right? Because she drove up onto the footpath, okay? Now, I have a valid excuse. I've been driving automatics. She's shouting in my ear. What are you shouting for, Helena?
Because I think I deserve my right to reply to this. I'm not letting you just defame me while you talk how great you are. So, yeah, I'll admit I did mount a curb. All right, I'll admit that. It was a bad moment. But let's remember that you cut out at a light and couldn't restart your car.
No, what happened was I've been driving automatics probably for the last 15 to 20 years.
Excuses.
And the car was a manual. Now, if I had been given, you know, an hour with it, I'd have been fine.
No.
Right? But I got straight into a manual car, which I hadn't driven in about 4 or 5 years. I was glad I could drive it because I did drive manual cars. And what happened was I was pulled away at a set of traffic lights. The car cut out in the middle of the intersection. So he failed me.
But that wasn't the only reason you failed. We both failed miserably. And this is really bad. And I suppose Helena has a point in, like, you know, that 20 and 30, 40 year olds are bad drivers because... observation.
Not all.
Well, many of us, Helena.
Look at two Helenas arguing with each other, for God's sake.
Isn't there these eye tests you take? And there was also like a reactionary test. You don't have to be driving. It's a visual field test.
Oh, okay.
And you can do these reactionary when you see the dot, you know, you press the button.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And you either pass or fail that. I mean, if you fail it, there's obviously something wrong with your reactionary time. Now,
yeah.
This is not done... It's not age discriminatory. I remember my grandfather giving up his license here in Ireland when he turned 72, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was really devastated because he lost his mobility.
Would he lose I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, Helena would lose her independence, I'd imagine.
It was independence, better word. Yes, a better word,
well,
the independence.
The thing is, my car sits outside my door probably 4 days out of the week and nobody drives it.
So how many miles a year are you putting on your car? Or kilometres?
Kilometres, I think. 7,500 to 8,000, wrap it up last year.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
I bought my car in 181.
Right.
And in 2018. And I said, now this is going to see me out, because when I get to the stage where I can't drive, I won't be driving anymore. So this will do me. But, like... It's
do you know many... Do you want to guess how many kilometres I've done in my car at the moment? I have 18 months.
I wouldn't have a clue. Probably, what, let's see, kilometres. 30, kilometres. 60.
I've done over 90,000 kilometres in less than just... It'll be 2 years in September.
Yeah, but I don't work now. I'm retired, so I don't use my car every day. I live in a town.
Yeah, sorry, Neil, what are you trying to say there?
What I was going to say is when I was living over there in Switzerland, living in Basel, right, and they have absolutely premium public transportation.
Yeah,
you can get anywhere from anywhere in that country and the surrounding, but you can't do that in Ireland. So you're really restricted on what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Do I give up my license, and do I lose my mobility or my what did you say earlier? Independence.
Yeah.
And but if there was better public transportation, you know, trams and trains, there would probably be more people giving up the license.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and more people wouldn't be driving on the road either, because it's easier to get from one spot to the next.
Yeah.
I did very little driving in Switzerland.
If you live in a town and there's a fairly good bus service, which we do, and we're lucky enough to have, then, as I say, I would very seldom use my car.
Exactly.
I mean, I would use my car maybe to drive to Wexford if I was going away for a weekend, or to Galway for a weekend, or to Kerry. But other than that, to the local shop... Maybe up to Navan or into Leixton, or, you know, those kind of short drives. I mean, I don't...
They're dangerous old roads, by the way, them, Helena.
They're good enough. They're
that road up to Navan and Slane and up around RD, and they're dangerous old roads, Kells.
Which when you're from the country, you get used to those kind of
roads. Yeah, I suppose you could, yeah. What was it years ago? My dad used to say, the car knows its way home.
It does.
That's right. Yeah. I think, was it Helena that said that these people that drive, when I live on a national road,
okay,
that's 100. But the people driving 40 and 60 kilometers on them, it's just deadly.
They're just as dangerous as the people who speed.
Absolutely. But there's no policing of us. And other countries you go to, you see, you must be driving this minimum speed.
Yeah.
There is no minimum speed.
Would you like to do a test, Helena, to see would you pass it? Out of curiosity, like.
There's great study material these
days. I don't know if I'd put myself through that now at this stage. I might get palpitations or something from trying to... Because I remember the first time going back when
very nerve-wracking, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'd like to... Unless I had to do it now, I wouldn't do it. No.
Right, okay, okay.
The reason I wouldn't do it...
No, it's not that you're afraid you'd fail. It's because you get nervous, of course.
I probably would fail.
Yeah, because you'd make mistakes under pressure.
But that still would not make me a bad driver.
No, not at all. Well, look, I just told you I failed. Yeah. I stopped in the middle of an intersection. Everybody beeping at me and I couldn't get the car back into gear. The engine cut out and everything.
And you can imagine what they were calling you.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the guy going, he's going to fail me on this.
Everybody should start driving automatics.
Yeah, well,
I have no sense why so many... manual cars in Ireland.
Yeah, why? What is it about Ireland and England particularly?
I don't know. Right?
Nowhere else in the world, really. Well, Australia, actually, they tend to drive a lot of manual cars too. Mm-hmm. But Ireland and England, generally speaking, everywhere else in the world, everybody drives automatics. I mean, look at America, it's probably 95% automatic. It's probably more, actually, 98%.
Easily, yeah.
I mean, why would you want to drive a car to change gears? Why?
Only if it was a sports car.
Well, I suppose because we're so used to doing it. When I went to Australia about 3 years ago, and I was driving over there, and I drove an automatic car, and I must say, I didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
You know, so it's just...
I remember the first time I drove an automatic car, I was in America.
Two peas on the brake.
I actually went to American holidays, and I rented the car out, and I'd never driven an automatic in my life. And the guy said to me, it's easy, just put one foot there in your grand.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. And he told me, whatever you do, don't touch the brake with your left foot. Because it's a habit that people, you know, because we're used to using our left foot in the clutch.
Yeah.
But what's the first thing I did going out of the car park? I went to put my foot on the brake and I used my left foot, nearly went through the windscreen. So I don't know what it is.
Mashing the clutch.
Yeah.
That wasn't there.
Yeah, I went to put my foot in the clutch, put my foot in the brake and nearly went through the window of the car. So, they take a little bit of getting used to, but I have to be honest, the new automatics nowadays, Helena, you don't even feel them changing gear.
Well, I won't be getting anything else at this stage, I'm afraid. I have the one.
What are you driving now? What car have you got?
I'm driving a Corsa.
A Corsa.
For years and years and years. I've been driving one for about 30 years.
Oh, well, Opel Corsa is not a bad old car.
I love the Opel Corsa.
Oh, okay.
It's a 1.4, so.
So how many Corsas have you had?
Well, between the Corsa and the first one, is the other one, the Opel...
Cadet,
yeah. Between those two, I suppose, five or six. I don't change my car every year.
What was your first car?
My first car was a white Opel Cadet.
What was your first car, Neil?
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, my first car was a Simca back in 1975.
A Simca? I haven't even heard that name in years.
A Simca.
The first car I drove was a Volkswagen Beetle here in Ireland.
My first car was a Fiat 127.
Yes, brilliant.
And my first car, I got my insurance, and I got the tax for less than €1,000. Pounds at the time.
Mmm. That was good going. I remember my Fiat 127. It had a hole in the floor and it was also a hole in the exhaust. So the exhaust fumes came into the car as you were driving. So you'd always have a headache by the time you were finished your journey. And on top of that, during the winter, the heating didn't work. So the ice would be on the inside of the window, not the outside. Okay, let me go to Neil.
But I bet you drove it like a sports car.
Oh, I thought it was great. Until I was driving out of Drogheda one day and there's a long hill out of Drogheda as you go up towards Dundalk. And I don't even remember that. It's like a long hill. But I felt like getting out and running beside the car. It was so bad. So I just had to get a new car, you know what I mean? Listen, it was lovely talking to both of you, particularly you as well, Helena. And good luck and safe and good health to you both of you, all right?
Yeah. Okay, thanks
very much, Nate. Bye, bye, bye. All right. Okay, loads of people texting in. Somebody says, will you tell your learned DJ it's not Cuppus Mentis, it's Cuppus Mentis. And not particularly... It's particularly, and finally, it's not government, it's government. I have never said government, or I've never said particularly. Or, what's the other one you said? Copus mentus. Copus mentus. It's the way I'm saying it. If you don't understand me, there's nothing I can do about it. Listen carefully. We don't all speak perfectly. I'm pretty sure now we could bring you in here. Let's see how well you speak. And articulate your words. Listen to the radio station for the content.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.